Thank you for tuning in to this message from Kingdom Heirs International, headquarters located in Flagstaff, Arizona.
We all here?
Yes.
Yeah?
We made it.
Everybody take a deep breath. No, I don't know if that deep breath was for you or for me, or for all of us, but man, we made it. I really do feel like it is such a, at the same time, like it's such a buildup and an intensity as we lead up to a feast in these appointed times, but also it's such a, like busyness. The chaos, the craziness, the preparation, the forward thinking, all of that. It is at the same time such a relief to just get here. And I think that is just attributed to the fact that we're under a word and under an anointing right now, right, of alignment. We're seeking alignment and calibration by being in his appointed times, right? And so when we're doing that and we're getting to this appointed time, it just feels like, right, as chaotic as things can be leading up to it, it just feels right. It feels good to be here, right? Before I go any further, I did want to just kind of open the night with a few things. We're obviously gathered here right now to do our public display of blood over the doorpost. We know that we're a couple days into the feast already, so we're not doing it perfectly, right? We're doing what we can with what we have, and we're a couple days into it. We have blood on the doorposts of our homes, and we're going to do that tonight as a corporate family for the community to see. Before we do that, though, I did want to just address a couple things. We do have trading cash. I wanted to just point that out, because even though we're dwelling here tonight and we're going to be still, there's so many different like layers to tonight and what we're doing, and there's going to be a full day tomorrow. I don't want to miss that opportunity. If you brought trading cash and you were forward thinking in that, but that's still here, okay? So if you just tag me before, go for it. Can I also just honor the Pesach team? If you were the Pesach team, can you raise your hand and show yourself? this just absolutely is, as we're growing in our governance as a family and as a people, those that step up to really like put their hands on something is a very powerful thing. And there's just such beauty and such honor that feels like it's flowing through the house right now. And so I wanted to make sure that the team was recognized and honored. And we're going to be full of honor and full of just full of it. I was going to say full of ourselves. but as the day, the night progresses and as tomorrow goes on, we're just going to continue flowing in that. Okay. This is such a like powerful prophetic time that we're in, right? It is extremely exciting, so fulfilling. It's like a sigh of relief to do this, and yet at the same time, there's an incredible weight and an incredible magnitude to step into alignment with something that's not just this monotonous tradition or holiday or thing that we just do, but we know what it's for. And we're growing in our understanding of what it's unto, right? And the fact that this was a thing that it's been taught before, that this was a thing that was fulfilled, is just even that more exciting to participate in that. And so as we do this as a family, and as we recognize the community that we have, the way that we've been led, the way that we've been taught, and the leadership that we have that foreruns and charges hard after Yahweh's heart and his intention for these things, to just be reflective and thinking about that as not just a gathering and a tradition and a thing that we do, but that there's something that this is arcing towards, and that there's something that this is pointing to, and we get to be part of that story, right? There is so much, just like it's been taught in the past few weeks, and it's been reiterated and said over and over, there's so much hope in life as we become more and more in line and more calibrated with his systems, his timing, his ways. And there's just like absolute fullness of hope in this. not only because of what we're seeing is to come, but because we know what was done. When those two are merged together, there's just an absolute fullness in it, and it's undeniable, right? And I know that we can all feel it. I wanted to highlight something that Mom, it was last week, I think that she, my weeks are all mixed up, you guys, I'm sorry. I think it was just this last week, Mom, you said something that was really powerful when you were teaching. You said it multiple times, but you would release something, or you'd teach something, and you'd say something happened there. And I feel like there's just another layer of that that's going to be added to tonight, but I wanted to even just start our time by like proclaiming and just professing that there's going to be a there's something there or something happened there anointing. That as we continue to step into more and more of his timing, his ways, and we continue to move forward in that, that it's just going to be over and over and over. Just like we're in a year of light bulbs going off and connections being made and fullness of revelation, and we're in the day season where all those things are compounded and we're action-based and we're moving, right? That we're grabbing hold of that something happened there anointing. And let that happen, let that flow, and let Yahweh speak to every one of these things as we continue to progress through it.
Yeah.
Remembering, too, that we are seeking alignment over performance.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of opportunity this weekend for performing. We'll say it that way, right? There's going to be plenty of opportunity for us to, like, do something or display something or seek to feel something, whatever it is. But seek that alignment, and I know this family will do it, but as we come under that anointing, the word over the year, the prophetic timing of this feast, everything that's stirring right now, and it's like there's this spider web of things that we can see and we can feel, but it's like there's these connecting pieces that are still being made and drawn between it all. As we engage in the fullness of this, be aware of that alignment and see what Yahweh does with it, not what we do as we seek alignment, if that makes sense. So let it be flipped into the right direction, okay? The last thing I'll just highlight before, I know Amber had a couple things she wanted to say for the family also, is just the reminder of this declaration of the blood of the doorpost, knowing what it meant in the story, knowing what it means for us to be part of that, but also the significance of it's not just something that we do and we claim, like we're under the blood, we're in the blood, we're in the house, but we know the significance of it, and we're testifying and displaying it as true witnesses to him. So even as we display it, carry that component of it and just be thinking about the fullness of that picture as we've been pressed to be true witnesses and turn out and be a presentation of him, that we're doing that by being here. We're doing that by putting it on display, and we're doing that among each other as we continue to come into alignment.
Yeah, thank you. So I want to try to get us out of, I know it can be hard to kind of shift out of like where we've been for the day, and I want us to not make this common. And this is something that can very easily become like, okay, well, we've done this for several years now. It's just like what we do.
Yeah.
And I think I've shared my personal side of this, but this became real to me when I stopped being a spectator of why this was there. Meaning I had to wrestle through recognizing, like in my mind, when I thought about him and his blood on behalf of my life, I would normally put myself in the crowd or like someone who was watching him die. And I wouldn't, it took me a long time to put myself in the position of I was the one that killed him. And so it's an opportunity to just feel the weight and the ownership in that and putting ourselves in that moment that my choices have needed him, and I've needed this, but I also was the reason for this. So it's like, I don't know if that shifts anything in anybody else's mind, but when I had to like personally own that I was the one that put the nails in his hands, I was the one who put the nails in his feet, and I was the one who did all of the lashings with all of the things in my life and it just settled a little bit different. And so what I want to just pause as we send ourselves into our time together and our feast, I want this to not be common and almost like forgotten of like why we do this and what this is unto, because I don't want us to forget the cost and what it took to get here and the things that Yahweh asked our family to walk through and the things that he did on our behalf and the times where he stood again and again and again and extended mercy after mercy to get us to a place where we could be a family who would see the other side of Easter. Like how many deaths he took to get us to this place. So I want us to feel the weight of like what we're being afforded. And as we get to engage all the cups, remembering that there is like Yeshua is waiting for that moment to be fulfilled where he gets to drink with us and where he gets to be like a part of that. And so as we're afforded what cost him his life, I don't want this to be easy. So one thing I just want us to be positioned in is remembering that the door is obviously Dilet. It's the bent over one that will help with humility. And that humility is what gets you into the house. So anything that we forget, we know will then produce entitlement. Forgetting produces entitlement, which is obviously the opposite of humility. So you can't be under the blood if you're opposed to it. So if we can just position our hearts in asking ourselves the question of have we forgotten? Or have we like let the year just sweep away more of an understanding or why we do this or a little bit more complacency or a little bit more lax, but letting that settle in thinking through, am I in opposition or am I under the blood? And so as we hang this, I want us to just take a minute and just reflect in that, reposition anything that we would need to. And then I know that Tyler has a really cool opportunity for us to engage. So after we hang this, you can take it.
Thanks for sharing that, Amber, because this is not going to sound good, but this is my least favorite feast just because of everything Amber was talking about. And it's interesting to be kind of on the other side of Easter, how when you look at Easter, it's so fun and it's so, which there is. There's such joy, there's such hope and life from the resurrection, that kind of thing, but it kind of misses the mark where you're confronted with the cost. And you did a really good job of putting that into words, because I was struggling to kind of be able to say that. Because when you think of feasts, you think of this joyous and just wonderful time, which it is, but for whatever reason, Pesach is my least favorite. But try not to get too emotional about this, but just this here means a lot to me because I feel like it's a representation of our family and how we have grown. If you remember, when we were in the old building, I built this cross 2011. I was asked to build a cross. And I remember taking it to the building and we set it up and it was off to the side. And it stayed there for quite a few years. And then I think we even took it out. If you remember the service where I think it was me and Derek, Jacob, were you there? I can't remember, but a couple of us brought the cross to the center. And as a family, we learned how to view each other through the cross. And we started to learn more about what the cross really meant, what it afforded you, what salvation began to form. And now we have learned and moved to a place, well, we actually learned how to walk through the cross. Mm-hmm. Yep. And work from the cross.
Yep.
And now learning what we know now and what all of this represents, the cost that was required for us to be able to be close to Yahweh. It's like, and I don't know if historically if the houses that the Israelites had a wood, probably was a soldier course of stone or something like that, but Logan and I put this up, and my son took the blood and put it on the beam. And I was thinking about what that must have felt like with the Israelites. It wasn't just some animal that they saw on the side of the road. They knew that animal. They knew that lamb. That lamb was in their home. That lamb was comfortable with them. And I think about my stupid dog. And what it took to do that. And then you start thinking about what it took for Yeshua to do that. To be in the Garden of Gethsemane and ask his dad, "I'll do it, but if this cup could pass from me, please, I'll take it." And for him to do what he did, just as Amber said, on our behalf, and me, you, we were the ones driving the stakes, the nails in his hands, or in his wrist and his feet. We cried for Barabbas. We killed truth. And I killed truth for so much of my life. And it took a family like this to put up with me for as long as you have, to just allow me to work out all the shit to get to a place to understand what walking underneath his blood really, really means. So one, it's to me, just remember. Remember your own journey, your own path, the things that you've struggled with, maybe the things you continue to struggle with. But I promise this family is built for you.
Yeah.
And the things that you have a hard time with, don't stop. Don't stop wrestling with it. And don't just... Derek, a dead fish can even float down a river. So when you're walking through it, let him just wash you. And see what doors open for you. And see what power you are enabled with. Because life is such... The air in your lungs is such a gift. And it's, this Pesach is... We may not be here next Pesach. Or we will, but it may be different.
Yeah.
But I want to thank our family for the fortitude and the kindness and the love that you have shown me and my family. And I am very, very honored and happy to be at this PESAC with all of you. But as you walk in, lay your pride down. Lay all the right answers that you have down. And let's just engage with this first cup and the rest of the weekend and see where it takes us. Go ahead.
Everybody's close. Baruch Hashem, everybody. I'm very joyful to see everybody here today. I've been asked to say a few words regarding our Seder snack today. The reason why I wanted to do the Seder snack, or I mentioned the Seder snack at our team meeting for the Pesach festival here, was because I was hearing, I kept on hearing pleasing aroma to Adonai. And that's why I chose, or that's why I wanted to do it. So I wanted to, you know, for the lamb, the lamb shank. And there's a few things I wanted to mention about what the meanings behind some of these items are. I mean, there's different meanings, but these are the ones that I was wanted to mention. For like the lamb shank and the bone represents divine protection, freedom from slavery, and sacrifice and redemption. The matzah represents faith and trust and complete reliance on Yahweh. The bitters represent the suffering of slavery. The apple represents sweetness of freedom from slavery. The salted cucumber, chips, and herbs represents the tears of slavery. And the green of renewal of spring. And the boiled egg represents voluntary sacrifice and resilience and survival. And the sweet freedom treat is a newer thing, but it represents to me celebration. And I also wanted to give some direction on for the serving this Seder snack. I would like to have two lines. We have one over here and one on the right, of course. I prepared one Seder plate for everybody to look at. You can get an idea of how to put your plates together. There is a little bit of sauce that I didn't put on the meat, but there's a yogurt. This is a yogurt, horseradish, mint honey sauce. It goes on the lamb. Then this is a homemade matzah. Right here, and then the next item is the apples, the next item is deviled eggs, the next item is salted cucumber with potato chip and parsley, and then the next one is a bitters spritzer, but I thought of making bitter spritzers. There's no alcohol in it, it's just bubbly water and different balsamic vinegars like pear, raspberry, fig, and pomegranate are the different flavors of the soup. You get what you get. You don't know what you get. And then there's
surprise.
And then there's macarons. And then I just also wanted to thank the Seder team. It was the View family, the Yvetta family, Molly, and Sarah. And then I'd like to honor Avi and Ima for leading us into Pesach, and also to lead us through the starting the Seder meal with the Brewer family. And I'd also like to thank you for leading us beyond as well.
Yeah, for testing.
Does everybody have their cups?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. So this first cup is the cup of sanctification. Which is correlated to Kadesh, which just means to be set apart. And not that Pesach isn't holy time, like from Wednesday to now, but as we engage this first cup, it is a turning point from normal time to His time. So it's sacred time.
Yeah.
This isn't a story time. It's not a history lesson.
That's good.
Yeah. We're afforded to enter His time. We get to. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to let us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good, Jalen.
And all of us need to make a conscious decision to honor this time.
Yeah.
Think about everything that's been said tonight already. Just let that sit with you. And the least we can do is make this time unremarkable and worth writing about. We don't have to.
Yeah.
Right, we don't want to have unremarkable time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wanted to read where the cups came from. So it's Exodus 6, verse 6 and 7. And it's, "Therefore say to Bnei Israel, I am Adonai. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you to myself as a people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am Adonai, your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Now, in that whole collection of verses, all four cups are derived. The part that is the cup of sanctification is, "I will bring you out," or "I brought you out." And that's just like going back to what he said, that is the setting apart, the sanctification of us is bringing us out. And I think that it's important we remember that he didn't just bring you out so that you could be out of slavery. He brought you out for a purpose and for a reason, and it's to follow him and his instructions. He's granting you freedom, but that freedom is only the beginning, because after that, you get to walk out everything that he has for you, all of his instructions, everything that we've been learning about. And that takes that continuous yes and that continuous movement. It's a conscious decision from our part to be set apart and to follow in his ways and to continue to be sanctified. It's not just acknowledging it and appreciating it. Like, we have to put action behind it and be sanctified. So we can just, like, I don't know, keep in mind how wonderful he is to let us be sanctified. Like he said, he didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But he did, and we have the opportunity to. So.
Yeah.
This should be a humbling thing that we get to drink of this cup, right? Like he sacrificed, and he doesn't necessarily get to drink, but we do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It was very humbling for Anya and I that we get to be a vessel through the first cup to follow what he has set in place right here, right now, for our sake, so that we can be holy. So with that, take a moment, take a deep breath, recognize the sound, what it smells like, your current frame of thought. Be grateful we get to partake in this cup. Once you drink this cup, identity will shift personally and corporately from slave-like mentality and tendencies.
Yeah.
If you give it the weight that it deserves.
That's good, Jim.
So, before we drink of the cup, I just wanted to recite the prayer, or Kadesh, and then feel free when you guys are ready to drink of the cup. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from among all peoples and elevated us above all tongues and sanctified us with his commandments. You have given us, Lord our God, with love, festivals for joy, holidays and seasons for gladness, the day of the festival of Matzah, the time of our freedom, a sacred gathering, a remembrance of the Exodus from Egypt. For you have chosen us and sanctified us from among all nations. In your holy festivals, you have given us with love and favor. Blessed are you, Lord, who sanctifies Israel and the festivals. Blessed are you who has kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us to this moment right here. So feel free to engage the cup whenever you feel ready.
This is our second cup. Our second cup is deliverance. So the first thing with deliverance, we need to make sure that we are remembering and being aware of how we carry our own deliverance to make sure that we're making it personal for each of us. So for me, Yahweh has delivered me out of death into life, out of complacency into movement, out of out of self-righteousness into gratitude and humility. Still working on that one.
You're awesome.
out of slavery into freedom. Out of rebellion into obedience, and then out of obviously a poverty mindset into abundance, out of being alone into family and connection. So the question is, am I carrying the cost of what was paid that allows me to be have like the ability to have life? And that opportunity that's afforded me. So it's also just, as we've been learning in the past day, it's not just about the blood, but it's about what was done to get the blood. So just because he delivered me doesn't mean that I am fully walking in the deliverance that he offered me. So every moment and every day, I have the opportunity to engage with and acknowledge the cost that Yahweh and Yeshua did to allow me to even have the opportunity of life and to be delivered for free. Because I literally did not have to do anything except just carry the cost and walk in what was freely given. So I can choose to walk in deliverance, but can I still choose it even when it's not convenient? Can I lay down my selfishness when I want to just sit on my phone in complacency? Or can I lay down my judgment in my self-righteousness that is totally like hypocritical? So Yahweh literally gave us a blueprint to follow in Torah. Yeshua came to earth. He became the sacrifice that allows us to have deliverance. He gave us a literal life. And that is so that I can have the opportunity for deliverance. So how am I still choosing to ignore the cost of his life in not accepting deliverance so that I can just feel comfortable? So I'm also, you know, working on not defining my own freedom as whatever feels good, but working on obedience. So I can't just ignore the cost and pick and choose when deliverance feels good or when it's convenient. And I can't just live life however I want, because we're all about obedience. So we're remembering how I have been afforded the opportunity to live, which is the cost of what Yahweh and Yeshua did. So his life being the cost, he showed me what it looks like to die so that I can die to myself. So that way there's no room for myself, because that's what he delivered me from, was myself. So to fully engage in deliverance, we're remembering that what Yahweh delivered me from. And obviously, we're also acknowledging that not everyone was in Egypt, even though we are now all still in Egypt. But we're remembering what our previous generations were delivered from as well, so that way we don't forget and then repeat the same cycle. So we're trying to get out of the rescue cycle, so we have to fully carry and remember what the previous generations have also been delivered from. That way we don't have to be delivered from the same thing again. So I have to let Torah read me. I have to remember where I have been Pharaoh, and remember when I wouldn't listen or when I had a hard heart, and make sure it's not just some crazy story from a long time ago about some crazy things that happened, but where was I in the story? And also, I was not Moshe. And so we don't let the story become common. We don't forget that what Yahweh did to deliver us out of death and even out of systems, and tying in with the leadership shift that we have just been going through. We're making sure that we are owning this personally. We're not waiting for someone to feed us or tell us what we need to respond, how we need to respond or how we need to feel. But if we're owning our deliverance, then we need to take personal responsibility. Okay, next.
So I kind of did more of a practical, like what it means to me or just different things like that. So it's kind of different, but in order for me to get inheritance, I need to be delivered from something. And I can go into the inheritance and just live freely, but if I were to do that, I would have to then go through the rescue cycle again and just constantly have to keep getting delivered. So if you forget, you go through that cycle. So you have to always remember exactly what your journey was and what you were, his purpose for that is for you. And then one of the questions that I came up with or was working through is, what is the purpose of deliverance? For me, the purpose is to provide the inheritance that he's wanting to give me. So he will give, once I'm brought into there and out of whatever, so like example slavery and death, into my freedom, then the deliverance of that and the experience that I had before allows me to go in there, as long as, again, I'm remembering how I got there and that it is his promise to me, then we're good. So his purpose to me is it's important for him to give me and deliver me into that area, so we're not just in the wilderness all the time. And then another thing is, I found the foundation of deliverance seemed very important, because from there, the relationship that I have with him, and then the more it gets stronger and just the more we have, then he is able to then ensure and entrust in me with the strategy that he has for me. So it's just kind of then going back through and continuing to not want to go back into the rescue cycle and growing and not just letting the past be, but just continuing to like always remember everything that I've gone through. And then Yahweh's delivered me from doing everything by myself into family and having other people there to walk things out with. He is delivering me in inconsistency to consistency. There has been a lot of times where I start doing something and then weeks go by and I'm like, I probably should do that again. But so now it's starting to be a little more consistent daily or every couple days, something like that. And then the other one is he's still working on it, but is complacency to movement. So just not wanting to just stay still, and I'm wanting to actually move more. So then I'm able to get more of the promise that he's wanting me to have. But yeah, so it's just then also going through and making sure that I'm not going into the rescue cycle where I keep me getting delivered again. So
I'm just going to do the blessing over the cup. There's not a specific one. It's just for the wine. It's blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Hey, everybody. This time, you guys are going to hear quite a bit more of Jake, so you better get excited. All right, here's Jake.
Hey, everyone. It's Jake. Who's excited to hear my voice? Because I'm definitely not. But anyways, bear with me. I'm going to be reading all these notes, so I might have a pretty monotone voice, so hopefully no one falls asleep. Okay, so as we come to the third cup, the cup of redemption, we remember Yahweh's promise, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Redemption is more than leaving slavery behind. It is the process of being changed, growing, refining, and being brought closer to who Yahweh calls us to be. This year, that meaning feels very personal to me. During our move from Flagstaff to Bremerton, our lives changed in many ways. Through that transition, I've seen redemption unfolding in my own life. I've grown closer to a greater connection with Laurie, to our kids, and to Yahweh. What could have been a difficult season instead became a time that strengthened our family. Even though we moved away from the community we love, we are still connected through our faith, people, and our common goal to continue building a relationship with Yahweh. In many ways, that relationship has become stronger and more personal. Not just something tied to a place, but something I'm now living daily. Since we've been gone, I've always had to confront parts of myself. My struggles with sin, isolation, numbness, addiction, selfishness, and anger, and ways of living that kept me from being the man I wanted to be. His redemption for me in my heart is obvious. He has brought me out of all those things and continues to teach me to become more selfless, more mature, and more patient. It has meant learning to control my own emotions better, to communicate well, and being vulnerable and open with others, and to build deeper, more genuine connections. What's crazy is that everything that we've been talking about and walking through each and every week through service, I literally have gone through it in real time, even before going through service or listening to it afterwards. For the past year, it's been such a stronger connection for me and mind-blowing, mind-opening. It's been awesome. I have found consistency in reading the Bible each and every day, the New Testament, the Old Testament, Psalms, and just staying more connected with that, including praying more often. Through that, I've experienced growth that didn't happen overnight, but came step by step, just like redemption itself. It has helped me continue the fight against temptations.
Well, jeez, I don't know how I'm gonna top that. It's a little bit of my turn. I am gonna go over the wine for tonight. So just bear with me because there is a lot of thought and meaning that went into tonight's wine. So I just want to try and get all of that expressed so that everyone can just be on the same level and feel the depth and multiple layers that are kind of going into just even what's being brought tonight. So tonight's wine is a representation of how he redeems not just Jake or I, but all of us. And as we learn about walking into the land and becoming a redeemed people, we decided to choose a wine that intentionally symbolizes that. The promise of redemption in Exodus ultimately leads us to the promise of being brought into the land. So drinking wine from Israel, we felt, kind of completes that journey symbolically. Just as Yahweh brought our ancestors from hardship towards promise, I'm also reminded that he continues to guide us through our own journeys and shape us along the way as well. The wine that we chose is a kosher bottle from Galil Mountain Winery. And before we chose this bottle, I'd never heard of this company before. And Mom, I'm probably going to say this completely wrong because I'm not a wine kind of person, but it's a Cabernet Sauvignon from Upper Galilee, which is, I believe, in northern Israel. It was produced in 2022, which was a Shemitah year. Actually, I think it might be pronounced Shemitah. Shemitah? Regardless. Does anybody know what that means? Anybody? Nobody? I'm just kidding. Somebody might know what it means, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Shemitah means that every seventh year in Israel, the land must rest. So agriculture ownership pauses, the produce becomes shared or public, and there is a complete shift spiritually and physically. And so the land goes from a human control where they're tilling it, they're tending to it, to more of a divine provision from Yahweh. Shemitah literally means release. So when we've been talking about the different Torah cycles of slaves being released, debts released, lands released, people being redeemed, I feel like it's just been the perfect embodiment in a wine, because it's basically like freedom built in creation itself, like redemption in a bottle. So we thought that part was really, really cool. It's like a environmental renewal and spiritual reset all in one glass. So that's one really cool aspect. Another is that this type of wine is super rare because it's a non-meshuval wine, which basically just means that there's, well, let me say this. I think that there's multiple dimensions to this, so just try to hear it in the spirit. A meshuval wine means that it is preserved in the original character. It's often considered higher quality, symbolizing redemption that is alive and unchanged and not altered. Crazy, right? So this wine, this Meshuvah wine, is a higher quality, unchanged, unaltered, alive wine, just like we are. So get ready to partake in that. We found it meaningful that it came from a Shemitah year. Shemitah? That just sounds like a gross word. Sorry, I tried to figure out how to say it. Either way, to tie it together, it's a dry red wine with notes of blackberry, plum, mint, herbs, and it says a little hint of tobacco. The deep red color also carries symbolic meaning, which just kind of reminds us of our covenant life and redemption, while also being bold and structured, the character reflects strength and endurance. So we're hoping that this bottle will encompass everything that the third cup means. And honestly, I hope that it still tastes good. We ordered our own bottle and it will be here in a couple of days. So hopefully we'll also be able to partake with you guys. But I will give it back over to Jake for some closing remarks.
So this cup reminds us that redemption is not just about being freed from something. It's about being brought into something new. A life of covenant, trust, and restoration. So as we drink this third cup, I give thanks not only for the redemption of our ancestors, but for the redemption that continues in our own lives, in our families, our faith, and in the ways Yahweh transforms us over time. So, l'chaim to the redemption past, present, and to what is still unfolding.
So keep that energy going, because it's a cup of praise. First of all, I'm honored to even be talking about praise, because I know I felt praise, but I never thought that I expressed it. So when Ellen asked me to do it, I felt humbled and definitely honored to do it. So, and I wouldn't be here without any of you guys at all. So I appreciate you guys giving me the chance to speak on it. So the fourth and final cup, the cup of praise, also known as Hillel, the cup of acceptance, cup of consummation, restoration, anticipation. It's also traditionally the cup of welcoming of Elijah, symbolizing hope for future redemption. Yahweh impressed on me the word hesed and took me on a deep dive with it, showing me that he is hesed and told me it was a love that would never let me go. And because of hesed, there was full trust in his promises. It was time to fully trust his commitment to me and his people, my family. No turning back. So with this cup, it took it to a whole nother level in depth, his proclamation over his people. And when Padrino was talking last night about how he proclaimed it over his people like sons and daughters, it just took it and clicked it into place even more for me. So that vow and proclamation made me see how insignificant I am, but also seeing the bigger picture of his story and how I wanted to be a part of it. Communion and covenant with him becomes prophecy, sealing everything that has been done or ever will be done. And because of that, we can walk in praise and celebration. So the questions I have for us as we walk in praise daily are, how am I walking in praise even in times of hardship or turmoil? Do any parts of my heart and soul, mind, have any bitterness or hold resentment? Do I celebrate moments of persecution? Am I walking out my loyalty and remembering his loyalty to me? And then I just want to end with reading the Exodus 6, 7 through 9. I will take you to myself as a people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am Adonai, your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to you as an inheritance. I am Adonai. Moses spoke this way to Bnei Israel, but they did not. Oh, that was the other one. Sorry. I am Adonai. That was it. I highlighted the next one. Anyway, so with that, let's celebrate and rehearse with this cup, knowing that drinking this cup, we are another cup closer to celebrating with him.
No, hey, I just wanted to get your attention real quick, because we are just going to shift into a couple of final intentions for the night. But while we're all still just gathered right here, it'd be good. It's a good opportunity for us to shift into some things. So just kind of want to get everybody's attention. Wanted to just highlight, obviously, this weekend was just an absolute overflow of blessing, everybody outpouring and just coming together as a family, as a community. And it really has been like a beautiful expression of just
I think the family culture that's been cultivated. And so I wanted to just kind of like set the sort of like not that the tone isn't already set, but sort of like shift us back into just that remembrance of honor and gratitude and just remembering what all this is for and kind of just reflecting on the whole time that we've had gathered, right? How much of a blessing this has been. Who does this, right? Like, this is not a normal thing. And how much of a blessing is this, even beyond just our own? Everything released last night, right? It's not even just a blessing for ourselves, where it's like we get to come together and we're fulfilled and we're all this and all that, but there's just an absolute overflow of gratitude. And I know that we could all speak on behalf of that in so many different ways. But like I said, we did have just a couple things to kind of set the tone in closing our time together, and as we get sent into the next phase of this feast and what that represents. And so I just wanted to sort of regather us, refocus for just a minute, and just set that tone for the next phase of things that we have to do.
All right, guys. So like always, whenever we have this kind of concentrated time together, we want to make sure that before we leave, that we don't leave, right? That it's not about the environment being set for you, that it's not about it was these specific dates, this specific feast. I mean, it is, but it's an impartation to carry forward. And the hope for our family is that every time we gather in this manner and every time rehearsed, just like Jess said when she led us in a toast, that it would be another feast closer to preparing a way, another rehearsal closer to being able to dwell and to dine with him and to create a place. And we have to recognize that in order to create a place, it's a daily endeavor. It's a daily endeavor in you, in your personal life, in your personal relationship, because it's not just about us, but it's about who he is and about his intentions and what he asks of his people, that we get to celebrate that we are. I mean, that is the miracle that I feel whenever we leave a feast. And like Pesach this year was so different. Did anyone else feel like this feast felt completely different than Pesach's before? Every feast feels like that to me. Every time we gather, it feels different than the one prior. Obviously, it's different because he has a different intention, but it's also different because you're transforming, and it's different because the more understanding and the more clarity you have on who you are and what your purpose is, the more intention you get to pour into that rehearsal. But as we come out of a lifestyle of compartmentalization, we also want to make sure that we safeguard movement and we don't take the movement that we have in something like this, the anointing that's on a feast, which really came out of so much preparation and intentionality and the preparation of things like the environment, that you don't then not carry it home. Okay, so a couple of things to just take with us as we leave tonight. One of the things that I've started recognizing is the more he reminds me of what I've forgotten, the more I recognize the distance between us. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. What I mean is I'm able to recognize how much ground there is to make up. So while we're growing and maturing, there's also a circling back to that has to happen, because it's like we're growing and maturing and then he reveals more. We're growing and maturing and then he reveals more. And so if we take breaks, or if we decide to step back into complacency, he's not going to stop that progression or that movement, so you can't either. That distance is just going to grow. That's something that Yahweh has spoken to again and again. He's used terms in this house like closing the gap, bridging the gap, right? Those are, that's that concept that he's addressing in us. And so part of the recognizing of that space that I'm talking about this weekend, what I personally felt after the word that was released, so if we're going to talk about Father's Day, we're talking about the way that a father loves and loyalty. I'm then recognizing that my response to that loyalty does not compare. In my life, in this moment, his loyalty far surpasses mine. When he reminds me of what it looks like for him to have been loyal and what he's asking of me in bridging that space, I've got some work to do.
Yeah.
Does anyone else feel like they can recognize they have some work to do in the way that he loves? I don't mirror that in the way that he is loyal. It surpasses mine, and I want to get to a place where my lifestyle is characterized by a crying out because I am more hungry for that fulfillment than for anything else in my life. And I'm not there. So in order to fully eliminate that space between us, and when I'm talking about that space, remember Mom's word, this isn't just part of what happened this weekend was the space that you thought there was, he made literal. So it's not just that there's space mentally, emotionally, meaning distance, right? All of the steps along the way for us to transform our mindset, our spirit, our heart, our actions, as we're learning to be obedient, there was distance because I didn't know how to walk in obedience. There was distance because my mindset didn't reflect his. There was distance because my character hasn't lined up with his. Right? That caused distance. Sin causes separation. This isn't a new concept, but we were given a fuller understanding of what the space actually looks like and what it means for you to get your mind, your emotions, your spirit, and your physical being caught up with that space so that it's literally eliminated. Okay. So we're gonna go into a couple specific things that he put on my heart as far as how to bridge the distance that got exposed this weekend, which I hope that we're aware enough to recognize what did get exposed. A feast is anytime you govern, there's going to be exposure because that's part of the him identifying that distance so that your rehearsal gets more more accurate, more precise, more like outside of yourself so that he can be called forward. So we're going to go through that. But first, I just want to make sure that we go home recognizing that space is a problem. Distance is a problem because it speaks to separation and to indifference.
Yeah.
Okay? So just like in your personal relationships, like the relationships that we have here, relationships you have with family, with friends, with husbands and wives, when you feel distance, you can't just do nothing.
Right.
Or the distance will continue to grow.
Right.
We might be intimidated by the distance and then we kind of sit in it, but all it does is it builds and it builds and it expands and it expands. And when there's more distance, it's even harder for you to make your way back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So just like in your personal relationships, what are some of the things that it takes for you to once you recognize that that's there in a relationship and you have to do something about it, what are some of the things that it takes? Go ahead.
Communication.
Communication.
Responsibility.
Responsibility. Consistency.
Patience.
Patience. Anything else?
Desire.
Hunger. You have to want there to not be distance, right? Okay, those are good. So it's just as transferable, of course, to Yahweh into that distance that we're speaking about. All right, So how to bridge the distance that was exposed this weekend in you personally. All right. So, well, for one more thing, I keep saying first, one more thing. Be encouraged, because whenever he exposes distance that can look like your sin or your disconnect or whatever that is, when he exposes distance, he always brings a solution for you to eliminate it.
Yes.
Always. He doesn't reveal distance and then he's like, well, just stay over there.
Yeah.
Because his heart is for you to come close.
Yeah.
And like this feast, his heart is to be called close.
Yeah.
He does not want to keep waiting at a separate table.
Yeah.
He wants to be dining and dwelling with you. But you're the one who's going to have to do the work to say, come close.
Yeah.
But you saying come close or come here is going to look like you walking towards him.
Yeah.
Not you waiting for him or you begging him to come to you.
Yeah.
You're going to have to walk, okay? All right. So there's three things that you guys can take from tonight into your life. All right. These are specific to this weekend. Number one, recognize the something happened there. There were a ton. I have asterisks by all my something happened there in the word that was released. It was spoken at the very beginning of Pesach. It was spoken last Friday that there are going to be things that happen that are in a moment, they're done in the spirit, or something took place in you over the house.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter if you're not aware of it and if you're not applying it.
Right.
Okay? So recognize that something happened there, not as an encounter or as a moment, because we're not people who stop at an encounter.
Yeah.
But as transformative and positioning, completely dependent though on your intentionality and on your application. Okay? Number two, continue engaging and activating your identity and your purpose. What that looks like or what that means is confronting who you aren't and what you weren't created for. When mom and dad release on identity, and when they speak to your purpose, which we got a mouthful of purpose this weekend, when you have clarity on purpose, it's going to confront what isn't. You can refuse to let that die and challenge that, or you can embrace it and do the work to allow it to confront everything that opposes it. Okay?
Yeah, Megan, say that sentence again, what it looks like confronting who you are.
Confronting who you aren't and what you weren't created for. So when identity and purpose is released over you, that's going to mean that you're going to have to confront what opposes it. Okay?
Okay.
All right, and the third and final one is acknowledge what could possibly keep you from crying out. Okay? Ultimately, what I heard this weekend is what will bridge the distance is cultivating a lifestyle of crying out. What crying out has looked like is crying out for your need, which is a rescue cycle we broke a long time ago. So now we're learning what it looks like to cry out on behalf of outside of ourselves, but that means you have to care more about him than about yourself. In order to cry out for him, you have to stop crying out for yourself. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't continue to help you grow, to help you develop, but it means that we're shifting from the individual to like shifting the focus from us to the distance so that he can come.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in order to cry out, we have to want him more than ourselves. And we're going to cultivate a lifestyle of crying out. Okay? So those are three things that you can do from this weekend to ensure that we maintain the momentum and movement that rehearsals should produce. If anything, we shouldn't feel worn out or, you know, in the spirit, but hungry and driven and so fully equipped.
Yeah.
So equipped from rehearsing, which is beautiful because it was an invitation, just like Jalen and Anya said in their cup. He didn't have to extend it. We didn't have to be invited into his time, but we were. And the gift that comes from that rehearsal time is that we just want, if only he was at this table. That's the hunger it should produce. And we were given we were given clues and a picture of what it looks like to make that a reality, but the work's going to have to be done.
Yeah.
Okay? Okay.
How happy Pesach. Now you do it.
Happy Pesach.
I love you.
Thank you for listening to this message from Kingdom Heirs International. If you have received insight and revelation with this message, we invite you to claim that revelation by trading on the trading floor with this ministry. You can do that at kingdomheirsflag.org. Thank you.